Here we go. 5 more hours of great high school football coverage coming your way right here on 102.5, 106 for the game. Games are underway throughout the state of Tennessee. Big Joe here along with Big Kenny behind the glass. Elijah Campbell with us tonight. We have a fun night ahead for you. This is it, round one of the playoffs. Elijah, before we get to kind of run down the scoreboard for tonight, we have a jar. Every time somebody says survive in advance, we're going to put a quarter into it. And by the time we're done, we should have probably $500,000.
See, that's the one I've been trying to avoid because I associate it with the NCAA basketball tournament. So that's one that I've been trying to get more creative with how I describe a team, quote unquote, surviving and advancing, thrashing and flourishing. Is that a replacement we can do? I don't know. I mean, I should have gotten my dictionary out to be able to try to or a thesaurus rather, to be able to find some synonyms here so we can kind of mix it up and spice our analysis a little bit. But that's one that I don't want to contribute any to that.
I just gave a quarter to it right then. All right, top of bottom of the hour, scoreboard update. Kenny, hit it, brother. Bow, bow. All right, here we go. Some games are just underway right now. McGavick at Beach, Cookeville at Blackman, Collierville at Brentwood, Gallatin at Cane Ridge, Overton at Clarksville, Lakewood Christian at Clarksville Academy, Sail Creek at Clay County, Stewart's Creek at Coffee County, Boyd Buchanan at CPA, which Elijah just talked about, Fayette Academy at DCA, White House at East Nashville, Polk County at East Robertson, Maplewood at Fairview, South Fulton at Fayetteville, Knoxville Grace at FRA, Brainerd at Giles County, Lookout Valley at Gordonsville, Riverdale at Lebanon, we've talked a lot about that game tonight, Cascade at Lewis County, Chester County at Marshall County, Happy Valley at Monterey, McEwen at Moore County, Lincoln County at Mount Juliet, Scotts Hill at Mount Pleasant, Tipton Rosemark at Middle Tennessee Christian, Wilson Central at Nolensville, Shelbyville taking on Oakland tonight, Green Hill at Page, Jackson Southside at Pearl Cone, Briarcrest at Pope John, Germantown at Ravenwood, Adamsville at Richland, Sycamoa at Smith County, Hendersonville at Smyrna, Memphis Central at Springfield, Hickson at Stone Memorial, Chattanooga Central at Upperman, Stratford at Waverly, Meigs County at Westmoreland, Franklin County at White County, Cumberland Gap at Yoak, Centennial at Bartlett, Eagleville at Dresden, Creekwood at Hardin County, Independence at Houston, Columbia Academy at Jackson Christian, Greenbrier at Lexington, Clarksville Northeast at Munford, Davidson Academy at North Point Christian, Loretto at Riverside, Portland at South Wind. I wrote that down. Yeah, South Wind. Harpeth at Bledsoe County. Good Pasture is tied with Chattanooga Christian, 7-7 and a half. East Hamilton's over DeKalb County, 14-7. That's also in the second quarter. Cannon County at Loudoun. Red Bank over Macon County, 14-7. Red Bowling Springs over South Pittsburgh. No, they're tied with South Pittsburgh, 0-0. Grundy County is trailing to Sweetwater, 28-0. Tyner, 21. Trials of County, 7. Joe Burns at Whitwell and Dyer County at Henry County right there. Those are the games and the scores we got because those teams are playing in the Eastern time zone. Let me ask you this, Elijah. Where in the world is Happy Valley playing Monterey? Where's that school?
I don't expect to be anywhere adjacent to Sad Valley by any means. I don't know where that would be. I do know it is on the eastern side of the state. I just cannot tell you where exactly. I know they play in the region with Cumberland Gap and I think Hampton is in that region too. That is one of the only few, it might be one of like two or three, Joe, regions where every team in the region makes it because there are only four teams in that region.
Okay.
Cumberland Gap, who went 2-8 and finished last in that region, is playing at York tonight. And Game Blitz reporter Frank Campbell Jr. there texted me earlier saying they have 16 players suited up. 16.
What school does?
Cumberland Gap.
Yeah, York just scored on them. So it's 6-0. 16, my goodness. Well, their Cumberland Gap is 2-8.
16 bodies.
Old Crow Medicine Show write a song about Cumberland Gap? Didn't they have a song about them?
Something about a passageway from Cumberland Gap to Johnson City, Tennessee. Yes,
right.
And that is a long, long road there too, which has always impressed me about that song. You know, that's Cumberland Gap is a very specific part of the state. So it's one of those that if you know parts of Tennessee.
Right.
So Cumberland Gap is one of those.
And I can't say, if I say Darius Rucker sings that song, my phone blows up with people like, Old Crow had that song
I will slap
first.
You. Yes. It's the better version too, TBH. It is very, Both versions are good. That one's my favorite.
We could go all night about it. Absolutely, we could right there. Early score now. Stewart's Creek has scored first over Coffee County. They lead 7-0. You know, Stewart's Creek playing in that division, you know, where every game you're going to battle each week at some of the best teams in the state, and that's what happened. So Stewart's Creek early on, Coffee County right now. Did Coffee County, or what school was it that's never won a playoff? Was it White County we had on the coach?
That's White County.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Coach Frazier from White County told us, yeah, never won a playoff game in the school's history. And this isn't like, you know, a school like Green Hill that's been around for 3 years. This school has been around, I guess, since Al Gore Sr. was in public office in Tennessee, which predates most of our interstate system. They've been around for a while, a very long, long, long time. And the fact they've never won a playoff game in their school's history is one of the most mind-numbing things to me. I've almost likened their program to Kansas football, because it's a football school. White County is a football or basketball school. They are of basketball prominence here in the state, but no football success. They play Franklin County tonight. Our man Noah McKay with the Upper Cumberland Reporter, he's on the call there, and of course he'll talk to us afterwards about that one. And he said, I read where he mentioned on Twitter that the stadium is full 65 minutes before kickoff. They're excited for that game.
Holy cow. Yeah. By the way, Stewart's Creek, let me run down the team. All right, they went 5-5. Here are the teams they played this year: Smyrna, East Nashville, Oakland, Blackman, Rockville, and Riverdale. I mean, so you talk about a team that is battle-tested. Stewart's Creek is battle-tested. So we've kind of fallen in love with Coffee County, and their great story this year. But my goodness, Stewart's Creek, that's what a great – they went 5-5, Elijah, but still – what a great team, because they battled. I mean, you're playing Oakland and Blackman and Riverdale and all these schools. My goodness, I mean, you're going to get better at some point like that. And they did, and they made the playoffs. They got their lead over Coffee County tonight.
Ugh. If Siegel and Rockvale are the worst teams on your schedule, then you play an absolute gauntlet in which 5 wins in a regular season should absolutely be celebrated as if you won the region. That's how tough that schedule is. And we've talked about, like, with a lot of these coaches, right? We talk a lot about scheduling outside of your region, because you can't help who's in your region, right? You can't help, you know, who you schedule outside of it. And a lot of these coaches have done such a good job of challenging their teams early in the season. And of course we like it, because we get to talk about these really cool matchups whenever a region play is not going on. But so many of these coaches have challenged their teams, and every single one we ask about that always says that this is what they do it for. Starting November 4th is what they schedule those games for, so they can be ready for these type of challenges that they're going to play from today forward. And obviously the Stewart's Creek is the perfect example of that not just being coach speak. That's reality, because Stewart's Creek at 5-5 is an even matchup with an 8-2 Coffee County team that is a region champion. That is a pretty high praise that you scheduled that difficult of a schedule to A, get yourself into the playoffs, and then be able to handle the region champ of the other region. That's exactly what Stewart's Creek's done.
I totally agree. We had Coach Stewart on from East Nashville, and he talked about scrimmaging in the preseason. Who would they play? You know, they played Riverdale, one of their non-region games. He's like, I want my boys to go and play the best schools with the best athletes. And that's exactly what you're talking about, because then you come to the playoffs like, all right, here's who we've played this year. This team is not better than the team we played earlier. We got this and play hard. And so they could do that. So that's early score right there. All right, we'll take another break. The other side, a guy, we're going to get a unique perspective again, not only on high school football, but on the Tennessee-Georgia game. Our good friend Buck Fitzgerald from National Playmakers Academy is going to join us. He's got a lot of guys he's been coach over the years that are in the playoffs tonight. We'll talk to Buck about that, and plus about the Tennessee-Georgia game tomorrow. This will be a lot of fun. You are listening to The Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back to The Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy right now. Games are rolling in. Things are happening and going on right now. Henry County's up. No surprise there, Elijah. 14-0 over Dyer County. That game just started like 5 minutes ago. So I will be disappointed. I'll be sad for you, because We talked to Coach Counts at Henry County. He said you could be an honorary member of the team. You could go out for the coin toss if they make it to Chattanooga. He didn't say that. But if you get to Chattanooga.
I got from it. Honestly, that's what I gathered. He didn't necessarily say it out loud, but right. Like that's assumed, right? I mean, he basically said everything short of that. So when they make it, I'm going to be on the field, whether right. they like it or not.
Oh, that's great. They're up 14-0 early like that. That's no surprise. I mean, because we talked earlier, 2 and 3 matchups for teams that are seeded 2 and seeded 3. Those are some good battles, but usually the 1 versus 4, very, very rarely does a 4 knock off a 1, and probably 80% of the time, those games are blowouts.
Yeah, mostly. Those are those games, you know, that if it weren't for the running clock, would kind of rival the 1916 debacle between Georgia Tech and Cumberland University that ended up being 222-0 if you don't stop the clock for some of those. Just because it's just how it shakes up. A lot of it's random region alignment, and one team that barely made the playoffs playing against a team like, I don't know, Oakland, who's 9-1, and buzzsaws everybody, even the best teams in the state, has to play them. Like, I feel bad for Shelbyville tonight. It was a lot for them to get in the playoffs, and it was a great accomplishment to get in the playoffs. But congratulations, you get to play Oakland in the first round.
Yeah,
and
welcome, by the way. Your Cookeville Cavaliers are they're down 21-0, and from what I've gathered, it's not
got
even
right where they want them.
It's not even halfway through the first quarter. I'm sorry, Eli, you're on the wire. I'm sorry.
I mean, this is kind of what happened a couple of weeks ago, right? Where Blackman just scores at will. Blackman does this to everybody. You know, they absolutely score at will, and the only way Cookeville is going to be able to be in this game is you can almost assume they're not going to get any stops, right? I told myself they're not getting any stops in this game. Absolutely not. You just got to score, you know, tit for tat with them. And well, Blackman's already got 3 touchdowns on them before they've been able to score their first. So for a team that scores in bunches, they're going to now have to be required to get some stops. I don't see that happening. It's been a good season. Good ride.
Wake County. White County's up over Franklin County, 7-0. It could be a epic night in Sparta, Tennessee, Elijah.
Mm-hmm. That's a team that's had a few epic nights this season. I mean, I need to go back and check exactly how many one-possession games they've had. But they've had some of the best games that we've discussed on air this year have come from White County. And of course it helps that they have the story of being the school that has never won a playoff game, but they beat Warren County by 1 point in August. They had that 5-point thrilling 59-54 game against Cookeville in September. They had that 2-point loss to Mount Juliet, the 1-point win against Green Hill, a 3-point loss against Wilson Central. And yeah, that's it. Those are all their one score games. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Half of their games this year were decided by one score.
Whoa, my goodness. So we could, do we need to, I mean, is Sparta going to be epic tonight if they win this game?
Oh, absolutely. White County, Tennessee will be bumping if they win this game. I mean, here's my expectation. I want a field storming. They win this game, you got to storm the field. I mean, now, I don't necessarily know about a high school student body trying to tear down goalposts. There's not really a place to throw it, to dispose of it nearby, kind of like what the Tennessee fans did in the Tennessee River. But, I mean, you might be able to, you know, cut it up, put some place, have them as keepsakes. But, no, that'd be a historic win. And that's one that every keepsake you can get from that game, you keep, just because that's history right there. And Franklin County's a really good team, though. It's one of those, they got a really tough draw despite having a home game. Franklin County gave Nolensville everything they could handle last week. That's going to be a fantastic game. And just because of how they've played their games this year, because of the style they play, that this is going to be a really good game regardless. 7-0 right now. Hot take, this one's going to be a one score game. That's my called shot here.
I love hot takes. Your other called shot, Chattanooga Christian, is now up over Good Pasture 14-7. That game's in the third quarter right there.
Oh, see, now that would be a significant upset. For those who haven't kept up with, you know, Good Pasture a lot this year, I want to say they're about 5-5, maybe 6-4.
I think 5-5.
5-5, and they've been struggling to stay even. They struggled. They're only 3-5 last year. They've gotten blown out in a lot of games this year. They've won some close ones. They got blown out against the top end competition of that classification. And Chattanooga Christian's a team that just a week ago lost by 1 to undefeated Knoxville Webb, who's one of the best teams in the state, and to me the only real contender outside of Lipscomb Academy to win that classification. And that's the team with the best shot to beat Lipscomb. If any team's going to do it, I think it's Knox Webb. But Chattanooga Christian took them down to the wire, lost by 1 point to lose out on the region championship. They're 8-2. They are very good. They have beaten a lot of really good teams. It would be an absolute stunner if Good Pasture were to end up pulling that one out.
But yeah, you know, as they say, I'm not going to say it, but every Friday night, anything can happen. Fayetteville, and I'm not sure the score is correct. They're up 30-0 over South Fulton. They're still members of the Elijah Campbell Club because mm-hmm. they're 10-0. But I'm seeing there's 8 minutes to go in the first quarter, and they're up 32-0 right now. So the score
sounds
just updated.
About right.
What a program. We need to.
That sounds about right.
We need to. I know they're way south, but my goodness, what a. This, you know, Fayetteville hasn't been around that long. That school, same county as Lincoln mm-hmm. County, but my goodness, the basketball program down there is fantastic. And now their football team won a state title a few years ago, and now they're rolling tonight 32-0 over South Fulton in the first quarter right now. Goodness.
They're legit state title contenders. Obviously, you know, when you're 10-0 and you get to be in the platinum member of the Elijah Campbell Undefeated Club, I mean, obviously, it's an exclusive membership here. They have it, and they also are in a very loaded 1A. 1A, like, secretly, like, the most fun
yes.
classification in Tennessee high school football because you get a lot of unpredictability right there. But if there's one thing you can bank on, it's Fayetteville being really, 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 really good and being better than a lot of other teams. I think they beat Red Bank, 38-2 when Red Bank was still undefeated
yes.
in 4A. Red Bank went to Fayetteville, messed around, and found out exactly what Fayetteville is all about. But Fayetteville is my favorite to win. There's the team that finished second in that region, Moore County, 9-1. Their only loss was to Fayetteville in a 46-34 thrilling game. Moore County can score a lot of points at will. They're a lot of fun. McKenzie, the team that is the reigning runner-up in 1A, they're 10-0, still undefeated. Peabody at 8-2 is a historic power in 1A in state state play. Coalfield 9-1 on the east side, an elite level team. And then, of course, the defending state champ South Pittsburgh at 8-2. Their two losses are to teams that are outside of the classification. Well, like, there's a lot of really good football in 1A. Now, these are tiny schools with enrollments anywhere from like 150 to 400, I think, is the max enrollment for those 1A schools. But they play really good football. The top end of 1A is really, really good. Now, it'll take a couple weeks before we're able to get some of those good games. But in like 3 weeks, Joe, some of our best games will come out of 1A.
Real quick, two things. You said McKenzie. When you said McKenzie, my page refreshed. And they scored a touchdown. That's just weird to me that you have that kind of
wow.
Karma, whatever you would call that, to make things happen like that. And by the way, here's a shocker so far, Elijah Camp. We don't have a sounder for this, and that's my fault. Early first quarter, Germantown 14, Ravenwood 0.
Ooh, yeah. See, now that one, the Chris Parson injury might be the most impactful injury coming into the playoffs across the entire state in all classifications. Chris Parson, we talk about Marcel Reed a lot because Marcel Reed is a superstar and he's going to be great at Ole Miss. But at Mississippi State, Chris Parson, they got a really good one in Chris Parson. And he's one of the best quarterbacks, like obviously leading this Ravenwood team to a region title. But Ravenwood's a really good team all around. And it still would be a little wild to see them lose in any kind of fashion. But I think this does kind of step in to show that the loss of Chris Parson is really significant. Now, obviously, Germantown's 8-2. Every single team in the playoffs out of Region 8, 6A are all 8-2. If you weren't 8-2 in that region, you didn't make the playoffs. So Germantown obviously is really, really good. And it goes to show the margins are so slim in those two regions that if an injury like that can be that impactful.
Well, something we hardly ever see during the year is Springfield trailing early. Memphis Central just scored. They're up on Springfield 7-6.
Mm-hmm.
7-6. Central wow. is 5-5 overall, and Springfield 8-2. Hey, we've got Buck Fitzgerald on. Let's go to the phone line sponsored by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Bring in the great Buck Fitzgerald. Buck, good evening. How are you tonight, buddy?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're doing quite well. We look at the high school football playoffs, and you know the great thing that you do with National Playmakers Academy. So many players. You got to look like a proud, I almost say uncle, but a grandpa or whatever. You got so many guys playing across the state of Tennessee. It must be pretty cool to see all these guys get to the next level in the playoffs in high school football.
Man, it really is. It's you're right. I'm so proud to see these guys perform. You know, Saturday mornings and late Friday nights are like Christmas. You know, seeing, you know, the plays the guys are making. You guys do a great job of putting, you know, clips out and videos out on social media, so you see it almost in real time. And it's just great to see these guys. They work so hard, and we all remember what it was like making the big play on Friday night, and to see them do it and manifest all the things that they – all their goals and aspirations and dreams. It's really, again, like you said, a proud moment.
Let me ask you, how does somebody contact you at National Playmakers Academy? Because, you know, there's a lot of guys who need that extra training and want to do more in the offseason and everything. How do they go about getting involved with you and what you guys do? Because you guys do such a fantastic job of just getting these guys to the next level. What's the route people need to go to get with you?
Yeah, they can they can contact us via phone or our website. Our website is nationalplaymakersacademy.com. That's nationalplaymakersacademy.com. Or by phone, 615-456-2680. That's again, 615-456-2680. And, you know, we love working with all these student athletes holistically, really training them speed and agility. We have the top position specific coaches really in the country, with guys like the great James Stone, Victor Wright, training, you know, the DBs and linemen and other guys, Jimmy Farrell. All these guys were standout guys here in the Middle Tennessee area and played college and sometimes professional ball, guys like Reggie Grimes. And so we love to train your young man and to help them if they are in high school with their recruiting process as well as ACT prep. We go down to age 10 where we work with all those young men and also have a 7-on-7 program and a lineman challenge program.
Talking to Buck Fitzgerald from National Playmakers Academy, one of the sponsors of this esteemed radio program. And Buck, we appreciate having you on. And you see what's out there. You see the media coverage of these high school kids and what's out there, who's getting a lot of attention. But you work with obviously a lot of kids yourself, and your organization does. But who are some players and some teams maybe that these players are on that maybe are a little undercovered and might not be talked about as much and can maybe surprise some people here in the coming weeks?
Yeah, there are a few of them that I am extremely high on that I feel like are set to explode here in the off season and really the later, you know, later in this season. One is Brock Montgomery. Looks like a Greek god. Mm-hmm. He's 6'2", 190 pounds and runs, you know, low 4.5, high 4.4. I love him as a defensive prospect. Other people like him as a wide receiver. At Friendship Christian, you know, he's a big time guy. I think he's a Power Five kid. Another one is Charlie Becker out of Father Ryan. 6'3", 190. Again, as beautiful as they come. The kid ran a 4.46 at Alabama's camp. He has about 5 offers. I think when the off season is over, he'll have about 20 offers. There's a kid, Tayden Swift, down a little south of town at Forest. The kid is unbelievable. He just picked up an offer from Tennessee Tech. I think he's going to sign at a really good FCS program. He's a senior. Those other two guys I mentioned are juniors. And he's a big time guy. And the last one is a kid. I wouldn't exactly call him undercovered, but I think he's as good as anyone nationally. And that's Andre Evans, his CPA. Again, a beautiful athlete, 6'1", defensive back / wide receiver. Has a handful of Power Five offers. I think he's as good as anybody.
We're talking to Buck Fitzgerald from National Playmakers Academy. And let people know that this is not just about the athletes. I mean, you talk about James Stone was great at Tennessee, great at Maplewood High School, that you train the big boys too, right?
Oh, man, I'm glad you said it. We really specialize in linemen. I think that's what sets us apart from all the programs nationally. you know, it's really easy to train the little guys like me to run around and do what I did. It's hard to find guys to train a lineman. James Stone was really our first big-time prospect out of Maplewood, high academic kid, played at the University of Tennessee, started as a freshman, then played in the National Football League for about 5 years. He is a savant when it comes to offensive linemen, trains those guys up. Some of his work, you know, Fisher Anderson is at Stanford, started the second half of the Notre Dame game at left tackle and dominated. Jacob Hood at Georgia. Joe Croker is committed to Mississippi State. Bryson Sanders committed to Ole Miss. George Stye committed to Wake Forest. Eli Freeman committed to Ball State. Aiden Brussels committed to Tennessee. On and on and on. He's producing these guys and just turning out big time prospects. So very proud of those guys. And very proud of our offensive and defensive line and training programs.
I love it. I just hear so many good things about what you guys do over there. All right, before we let you go, Buck, what are you doing at 2:30 tomorrow?
Oh, man.
So
speaking of James Stone, he came over, obviously, another University of Tennessee. Like I said, former player like myself. I played in the black and white days, but in the black and white days, we were dominating. So this is really the first time the Tennessee has looked dominant since I played. And so James Stone just dropped his son off. I have 10, you know, 8 and 9 year olds running around the house. Slumber party for my son. So I'm looking at James Stone's son right now. But I told him he got to come over here and help me with the kids so I can watch the game. I'm fire up the grill for the kids, give me a little adult beverage, and I'll be ready to rock and roll at 2:30, baby.
It's got to be, being a VFL, to watch this team now and be ranked number one in the college football playoffs after what's happened the last 10 years in Knoxville, it's just got to be almost like a dream there, Buck.
It almost happened too fast that it's kind of like you weren't prepared for it and you weren't prepared to enjoy it. And, you know, it's kind of like everybody's thinking, what the hell? You know, it's kind of, it hit everybody so fast it hadn't really sunk in. I don't think that people are quite as excited. I think the excitement is there, but I think it's almost kind of like, yeah, it's we didn't expect to get here. Not that Heupel is not an amazing coach. Not that the quarterback, you know, but to me is by far the Heisman candidate. The kid at Alabama is great too. But all those guys, you know, we probably should have known. But just from our history, we're like, it's the battered wife syndrome. And so, you know, you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And that's probably what's going on a little bit. You know, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. But as dominant as they are, they're leaving no doubt. You know, and so that's the thing. It's kind of like you got to really believe what you see at some point and enjoy it.
I absolutely agree. Buck, we thank the world of you, man. Thank you for being part and being a great teammate for this show. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you, my man. Have a good night, buddy.
Listen, I just want, again, man, thank you guys so much for what you do for our young men. You guys can be doing anything. You got families on Friday night. They want to see you. This, again, I tell the kids, this is the last time you're going to have fun in this game, all right? This is the last time it's joyful. This is the last time you're going to think about this your entire life and think about high school. And so what you guys do is, you know, unparalleled. There's nothing like it in America. I've been to Houston. I've been to all these places. There's nothing like what you guys do, the service you provide, the entertainment that you give us for, you know, our most valued possession, our young men, and they're trying to go out there and live their dreams. So I really appreciate what you guys do, appreciate you guys having us as a part of it. I'm honored to really be a part of it, you know. So thank you so much.
I wasn't going to cry tonight, but now I am. Buck, thank you, buddy.
Too late.
I appreciate you, my man. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Buck Fitzgerald, a proud teammate of us here on the Game Blitz with National Playmakers Academy. All right, let's take a break. We got some really crazy, surprising scores that are rolling in. We're going to give them all to you next right here on the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. A little late there. Great interview with Buck Fitzgerald. We ran over just a tad bit. That's okay because, man, he's fantastic. So, Kenny, hit it, brother. All right, here's the scoreboard update for you. My goodness. Beach 35, McGavick nothing. That is in the second quarter.
Oh, no.
That one hurts. So from my alma mater, McGavick, to yours at Cookeville, Blackman's up 21-0 on Cookeville. That game is in the first quarter. Cane Ridge 13, Gallatin nothing. Stewart's Creek 7, Coffee County nothing. CPA 7, Boyd Buchanan 3. DCA up over Fayette Academy 14-0. Ashton Jones, 2 touchdowns, already nearly 150 yards in the first quarter. East Nashville.
Video game stats.
Exactly. East Nashville, White House 6-3. Fayetteville now leads South Fulton 48-0. That game's in the second quarter. Marshall County, Rochester County 7-0. Mount Juliet leads Lincoln County 21-6. That game's in the second quarter. Green Hill just scored again. They're on top of Page. I'm sorry, Page is on top of Green Hill 14-7. They just scored. Smith County over Sycamore 14-0. Springfield over Memphis Central 14-7. Stone Memorial over Hickson 7-0. Waverly over Stratford 16-7. White County scored again up over Franklin County 14-0. Yoak ahead of Cumberland Gap 6-0. Riverside over Loretto.
That one's a lot worse now.
27.
Give an update on.
Oh, is
update
it?
Update on that one. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The last I got with 10-10 to go in the second, York's up 33-0.
Oh, thanks for that. Way to refresh my computer screen, Joe. Chattanooga Christian 14, Goodpasture 7. East Hamilton over DeKalb County 14-7. Red Bank over Macon County 14-7. Sweetwater over Grundy County 28-0. Henry County keeps on scoring over Dyer County 28-0. And Tyner over Trousdale County 21-7. Those are the scores we have right now. Let's go back to the phone lines, brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Bringing our man Judy Riddle, who's at the Page Green Hill game. Judy, what's happening?
Guys, we have a packed field, action-packed barn burner tonight in the first round of the 5A playoffs between the Page Patriots and the Green Hill Hawks. I'm so sorry if it is so loud over here because they got me on top of the press box next to the speaker. We have an electric environment, and the game is even more electric. First play of the game. Quarterback Colin Hurd motioned running back Hayden Walker out for a 15-yard screen. Second play, he found his guy Boyce Smith for a 42-yard pass that put them inside the 10. They were moving quickly. Cade Walker, who I had just mentioned, got a 2-yard run to go up 7-0. Well, I had expected this Page defensive front to step up and be dominant, and they got a 3-and-out on the first drive against Green Hill that was negated by a punt block, roughing the kicker call. The punt was not blocked. The kicker was roughed. They gave him a first down. And the QB, Cade Mahoney for Green Hill, is continually making plays on the move. He ended up doing an RPO on a third down on the Page 25 where the ball was tipped by the safety and fell right into his receiver's hand to tie the game. And what did Page do? They came right back out and gave it to their backup running back, Brendan Ames, for a 43-yard run that put them back inside the red zone. And then again, Brendan Ames with another 1-yard touchdown run to go up 14-7. Green Hill just got the ball back, and they are set up at midfield after a penalty on the kickoff. So they are about to resume their second drive of the night to try and tie this thing up in the second quarter.
All right, beautiful. Junie, let us know. Keep us up to date in what happens, man. Thank you, brother.
Absolutely, guys.
All right, that's Junie Riddle covering the Green Hill Page game for us tonight. We will take a break and come back to the other side. Friendship Christian head football coach John McNeil is going to join us as they wait the winner of DCA Fayette Academy game tonight. If Friendship Christian, one of the top teams in the state of Tennessee, one of the top players in the state of Tennessee. So we're going to talk to the coach. That's all next. You're listening to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. All right, welcome back here to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. There are some teams that are not playing tonight, not because they're out of the playoffs, because they earned the right to take tonight off. They'll be playing next week. One of those teams is Friendship Christian, who's had an outstanding season. We're joined now by the head coach there, John McNeil. Coach McNeil, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank y'all for having me.
Absolutely. 10-0, you play, probably going to play DCA. They're up 21-0 over Fayette Academy. That game just now in the second quarter. You guys played earlier this season. I don't want to jump ahead anything like that, but when you play a team for the second team in the playoff that you haven't played in a long time, do you go back to that game and watch it, or is like you want to see what they've done recently? How does that work for you?
You do both. I mean, we've already went back and, you know, watched our game. We've watched early games. We've watched late games. We were able to go last week because we played on a Thursday. Last week was our Thursday night game. So we got to go watch in person, then play National Christian. So, I mean, very familiar with them just because we play them every year. So, you know, just kind of trying to figure out how to handle this week we had off, and just making sure we still got what we needed practice time-wise, but also, you know, giving guys a chance that we're, you know, banged up, a little bit of time to rest.
Coach, you've won state championships. You've had great and fantastic teams. But I've been talking to somebody about your team this year and who's followed you for quite a while and said there's just something special about this football team. Do you feel that way, or is every team special in their own way?
You know, I think this team, every team has its own special qualities that you can go back and look. And, you know, I think in the past I've told our guys before that, you know, in the previous games that we've played in the state championship, it's been that we've been able to in the trenches offensively and defensively, that has been where we've been our strongest. This year I feel like we have been able to duplicate that a little bit, and you know, people always see the quarterback, the receivers, the running backs, and they see all that, and that's at every level. But, you know, it's, as I told our kids, the one common denominator with any of the other state championships was the D-line and O-line. And we feel like this year that we're better there and more physical than what we've been in the last couple of years.
Talking to Coach John McNeil from Friendship Christian, his team, the D2 Single-A East Region champs with a win last week against MTCS 28-14. And, Coach, I kind of want to go back to that game. Honestly, is your team's closest game all year. Not many teams in the state can say their closest game was a 14-point margin. But your team's been really dominant this year, and you finally got a really, really big test against MTCS. But what does it say about your team to be able to win a lot of these games by multiple touchdowns and not overlook really any opponent?
Well, I mean, we've been fortunate to have quality, you know, offensive series, and that's helped. You take the last two games, the game before, Lakeway did a great job of running the clock down. They basically snapped the ball with 1 second left, and we had one offensive play, not series, play in the first and fourth quarter. We had six offensive series. We scored all six. And then last week they ran a very different kind of offense, kind of a single wing, kept the ball, and we had six series and scored five. So it kind of puts the pressure, but our kids have answered, you know, the last couple of games, not getting the ball very much, you better produce when you do. But defensively still, you know, still stand strong. 14's the most they've given up all year.
And to highlight one of your players too, obviously we're good friends with a family member of Brock Montgomery here on this radio show, and he's had a fantastic year. And as just a junior, he's proven himself to be a really good playmaker on both sides of the ball. But what makes him such a good football player, and for him, what's made him, I guess, able to make the jump that he's made from sophomore year to junior?
Well, Brock himself has made it by just working all the time, year round, and one of the hardest working, you know, players we got. He's always training. He's getting bigger. He's getting faster. He's getting stronger. And a lot of that has to do with the young man you're talking about that y'all know on the show. And he's really the one out there pushing and going. But Brock has made a lot of strides. He's been real big for us, a guy we can go to. Great hands, great, you know, especially on the deep ball, is able to go get it. Defensively, he's been great from a corner standpoint for us, being able to put him on the best receiver every time we line up each Friday night. You know, and we got a quarterback who really, you know, has come a long way from last year of being able to do a lot of different things, getting the ball to our receivers and, you know, running the ball. And then Tyson Walcott, our running back, has had a great year. He's just a little spark plug and also plays linebacker.
We're talking to Coach John McNeil at Friendship Christian. They're 10-0. They get the bye week this week in round one. They'll play probably DCA next week in round two. Coach, last year DCA had a great run. They beat you in the regular season, beat you in the playoffs. Do you bring that up at all, or do you just let that be last year and just focus on what's in front of you?
You know, I don't really – I didn't before the first game. I didn't really know – you don't know how to handle that because – last year, both games, they handled us fairly easy. It was just physically they outplayed us. And going into the first game, really wasn't sure what to expect. But our kids didn't really think about that. We didn't talk about it. We did, you know, talk about doing your job and play physical. And that's the biggest thing coming into this year. After last year, we said, guys, we have always been physical. And that's been what we pride ourselves on. We have not been physical the last year or so. We have to get back to that. And I think that's the game that I went away going, you know what, our kids are physical, playing physical. And that was the game I went and go, you know, went and said, hey, we've got something here.
Ah, love it. I love it. Coach, again, thank you for the time tonight. I know you're busy, so thank you. And best of luck next week. And we hope to talk to you down the road, Coach. Thank you for your time.
All right, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, Friendship Christian Coach John McNeil. And, you know, look at that. You know, Elijah, if I'm a coach and last year I lose, you know, the regular season and they embarrass me in the playoffs and there are some say they might have run the score up, DCA did over Friendship Christian, I got a pretty good memory, man. I'm not forgetting that stuff, right? I'm not forgetting happened.
And they didn't when they played earlier this year. You know, our own Nick Keyser covered that game for Main Street Prep. He was covering that game. He talked to a lot of the players in the week leading up to that game, right? And a lot of them mentioned those two games from last season. And they obviously, whenever they got up on DCA, they did not hold back. And I think that score, it ended up being 43-8, and it could have been a whole lot worse. So they might have been a little merciful at that point to make it 43-8. But when if there's a game they're going to want to run it up, it's going to be in the playoffs, right? You don't want to show too much, and because you know you're probably going to see these guys again. And the rivalry, the little budding rivalry they have between DCA and Friendship Christian is one of the most fun in the state right now, too. Not just because of some of the competitiveness they've had in years before this one, but because these are two perennial state contenders every year, right? Usually the winner of this matchup and this rivalry goes on to win state. It's been that way. It was that way last year. And obviously, I think Friendship Christian is the clear favorite to win state in Division 2-1A this year. So potentially they could be the makeup of the last two state champions. So it's a nice little budding rivalry that it's going to be fun to keep up with kind of as years go on, as long as Coach McNeil's at Friendship and Coach Wade's at DCA.
I say they're probably going to play DCA. DCA just scored again. They're up on top of Fayette Academy, 28-0. I got a stat from that game. Ashton Jones has 2 touchdowns, 6 carries, 150 yards. He is about 100 away from going over 2,000 on the season over there. So that's something to keep an eye on there. That and it have to
end 6 carries,
150 yards. That's like Elijah Campbell numbers right there. I ain't playing around.
That's me playing. Yeah, it's me playing on Madden on a rookie mode, man. That's I'm busting open home run plays. How cool is it if you're DCA for like your last two running backs to be Ashton Jones and John Lewis, who was putting up similar numbers when he was there?
Oh,
like,
it's fantastic.
They've built some ridiculous running games over the last 5 years over there in Donaldson. Like that's pretty remarkable.
Especially when another team knows exactly that Ashton Jones is going to get the football and Harry just try to stop. Although Nashville Christian did a fantastic job of stopping him last week, so I'm not sure how good Fayette Academy is. All right, we will take a break. I will let you know, Elijah, that West Tennessee is doing a number on Middle Tennessee tonight. Just leave it at that. That's what we call a tease. We'll have all the scores for you. It's the top of the hour. All the scores from round one of the playoffs for games that are affecting teams right here in Middle Tennessee. You listen to Game Blitz on 102.5, 106 for the game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy.